B-Pod Studios.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
5 o'clock.
Mike Missinelli Show, 5 o'clock hour, brought to us by Guided Door and Window. Take advantage of Guided Door and Window's big summer sales event. Receive 40% off all windows and doors. Call Guided Door and Window today, 1-877-GO-GUIDA, or visit GOGUIDA.com. Well, the news we kind of didn't mention yet, new stake owner in the Philadelphia Union. Kevin Durant.
Yeah, 5% stake.
5% to get expand another 5.
That's not bad.
Let's see what he says. I've been a fan of the sport, and seeing how fast the popularity of the league was growing, seeing more fans pop up in different cities around the country, and then seeing how these franchises impact the city's businesses and people individually was very intriguing. Huh.
Makes sense. Natalie and I both know a person, actually, who has a brewery near that stadium.
Oh, yeah.
And the games... There is a crowd that actually overflows into his business from that crowd. So it makes sense.
This is mind-boggling to me. What do you think the value of the union is?
I know it's going up. That league's don't, they're, I mean,
this is all new to me. I'm stunned by this.
I'm going to guess $50 million.
$325 million.
That much.
Wow.
I knew it was trending in the right way because they're expanding.
Yeah.
Durant's
Beckham's got a team
valuation
coming.
Is $16.25 million.
Nice.
That's a nice little investment.
Yeah. Well, and not that it's going to be come down to it, but with baseball kind of, MLS can kind of capitalize maybe on losing those fans.
No, you're right. In that, it's proven that we want something live. Like, that's a statement of fact.
Yeah.
MLS is starting 4th of July weekend.
Yeah, they're back.
And they're going to basically have, because the NBA doesn't start till the 30th, and hockey won't start training camp till July 10th, they'll have the month to themselves. Like, that's not nothing.
Yeah, no.
That's not suggesting that's going to take off. What I'm saying is, as a growing sport, to have a whole month to yourself where you're the only live team sport, pretty darn good.
I mean, I'm definitely going to watch.
Yeah, I'm going to turn it on.
I'm going to watch.
It's a live team sport. I will turn it on. For a whole month, you've got the whole game to yourself.
I've gotten into soccer when I go to the games in person.
I like soccer.
But it's tough I've never been able to really, watch it on TV, but I'm going to make more of a conscious effort to now.
There you go. Yeah, I like it.
How about you?
But Mike doesn't like it.
No, it's not that I don't like it. It's that it doesn't interest me to watch.
It's tough for me to watch, too, but I'm going to try.
I mean, I appreciate the skill that's involved in soccer. It's just, it doesn't lure me to the screen.
Why do you think
to the stadium. I don't know why. I mean, I'm not averse to it. I would give it a shot. You know, like they've been, the people of the union, Carl Cherkin, who works for the union, have been after me to get to a game.
Have you been to a union game?
I've not been to a union.
Oh, they're a blast. They're so much fun. They're so much fun. I used to go back in the day. I haven't been in a while.
Yeah,
I'll get there.
Something about the sport just doesn't float me.
Well, I'm not suggesting for everybody, but I do think that...
I mean, it's not a bad sport. It just says, like, I concentrate on the other ones.
I think there's a certain fan out there that's neutral on soccer or just completely uninitiated.
Yeah.
I do think having a month, they will get extra fans from having a whole month where they're the only team sport playing. That doesn't mean that they'll... Mm-hmm. I'm saying that people who are like, hey, let's give it a try. You've seen it enough to say, I'm out.
I'm neutral on it.
There are people out there who have...
Neutral. I don't know.
Haven't tried.
If it's the only game on, I don't even know if I would tune in.
Right. I know I would.
Like, I'd go movie before I would go.
I watch the Premier
League.
Yeah, you're a Premier League guy.
Yeah, I watch it. So, and they're back this week. They're back, so I'm going to be watching that, too. So, yeah, I'll watch it.
All right, let's go Jack in the Jersey Shore. What's up, Jack?
Mikey Miss, what's going on?
Hello, Jack. How you doing?
I'm good. I just saw a tweet a couple minutes ago from Jeff Passan, the baseball insider from ESPN, that Rob Manfred said, unfortunately, I can't tell you that I'm 100% certain that's going to happen. Is there any way you guys see any MLB baseball played this summer?
It's looking more and more like it's not going to be played. And I'm trying to, in the form it would be played, I don't care anyway. You know, like the 48-game thing, to me, looks just like a rush job to get something in for the sake of getting it in. And so if they canceled the whole season, I'd be okay with it.
Yeah, my biggest problem with if they canceled this season is if there's going to be a potential strike.
Yeah, and that could happen because there's going to be labor disagreement going into next year, the collective bargaining agreement, all that stuff. I would think that because they would bypass this season, that there would be more incentive to get it together and not miss another season.
Yeah.
So I think it's actually more likely, if they miss this season, to me, it's more likely they'd have more incentive to bring it back like regular time.
Yeah, I hear you. All right, thanks, Mike. Yeah, I just want to give a quick shout-out to my buddy, Rob, who's a big listener. Congrats on your marriage to Katie. Love you, Rob.
Oh, Rob married Katie? How old's Rob, man? I wanted to get more info on that. Rob and Katie.
That's nice.
Oh, so...
like, you know, where the wedding was, how they did it.
I mean,
all that kind of stuff.
And that's been tough, too. All these people have had to cancel their ceremonies and whatnot.
Yes.
And I feel bad for the tux rental places.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because the proms got canceled. That's big money for them.
Yep.
And a bunch of weddings. That's a big place. So I feel bad for a lot of people like that. So I wonder how they pulled it off. Apparently, that what the caller called about, that's going to be on that Return to Sports special that's on ESPN tonight.
Oh, that's right. There's another thing on tonight, that Return to Sports. All the commissioners are going to be on?
Which is, I find that Manfred's on there odd because all the other commissioners have a date set for their sports to return.
Well, it'd be interesting to see if anybody presses them. Who's the host? Greeny?
Greeny is the host.
Oh, Greeny's got to get in his shorts.
But it must be taped if this is already out.
A reporter for the Los Angeles Times, their baseball reporter, put out in a letter today, MLB told the MLBPA there would be no 2020 season unless the players waived any legal claims against the league. So
they're still June 15th.
It's just getting bleaker and bleaker.
We're still at this point where they're still doing this at June 15th.
It's done. Just stick a fork in it.
Yeah.
And what's funny is, though, and this is where, but Manfred's a fraud, though. 3 days ago, he said, three days, there will 100% be a season. 3 days ago, he said that. And now, 3 days later, he's saying he's not sure. That's not leadership. That's not a commissioner.
No.
That guy's a joke.
You're right. All these commissioners are like beholden to what the owners want to do. I just don't think the players, I'm trying to put myself in the mind of a player and whether I'd be motivated to play after all this nonsense. And I just can't see that they would be.
Well, they're just blowing smoke at this point.
Yeah, I mean,
that's what it feels like.
I think they're coming from a position where I don't want to play anyway, so let's push our agenda.
Yeah.
So, you know?
Yeah.
That's not okay. What's the point?
Yeah. Clearly, the baseball players are approaching it different than the NBA did, for example, where their team vote 29-1, let's come back. So I don't know, there's some players, but for the most part, the players are saying, hey, hockey players are saying, hey, let's get back. Baseball doesn't
seem to have, they're just kicking it.
They don't have the same sense of urgency that the basketball and the hockey guys clearly have.
Exactly.
Well, because now is the time that they can wield as much power as they possibly can. So they're just trying to like capitalize on this opportunity.
Some unseemly about it, while all these people are unemployed, though.
Yeah.
They should be able to come to a compromise. Well, this is, but I'm also, the owners are frauds, too, because they're lying. It's just all these people out of work. And this is what you want to do right now? Just something about it. It feels
baseball,
icky to me.
Baseball players. That's what it is.
Just
they're
icky
different
to me.
Species. Well, by the way, what did Charles have to say about? Do we have sound on Charles saying sitting out would be catastrophic?
I'll find
for
it
for NBA players. So yeah,
do you know where he said it?
I'm looking on the ESPN website.
So he must have went on one of the shows. I'll see which one he went on. I'll find it.
All right. Let's go to Randy and Boothwin. Randy, you're on 97.5 Fanatic. What's up, Randy?
Friday, you were playing either or after your conversation with soccer and your inability to go to the driving range.
Yes.
Soccer? Watch a soccer game or go to the driving range? You got 3 hours, but they're your choices. There's
I have 3 hours to kill. I'm not going to spend 3 hours at the driving range, so I guess soccer's in.
So you're going to sit there and learn the nuances of the game.
I know the nuances. Listen, I covered soccer in my life. Like, I'm not averse to soccer and how it's played. I just, I'm so involved with the other sports that I don't have room for another one to come in.
Oh, you know? It's a room issue. It's a room you like playing. Yeah, don't have any room.
I don't have any more room. I'm saturated with the others.
You got to get rid of a friend. That's the problem. It's Sheldon Cooper. I got to get rid of a friend.
Yeah, like, I'm not watching PBA bowling either. You know what I'm saying?
No.
I'm just saturated. I got a saturation point.
Oh, I get it. The special last night, I watched it. I found the production to be very nice. I didn't find it very compelling. I kind of knew the story, other than McGuire's little conversation at the end, which was basically saying, well, you know, if you did testing, I wouldn't have done it. But since you had no testing, what the hell?
Everybody's that's how he rationalized it.
Yeah,
I'm shocked that they didn't get more into it. And the only thing I can think of is these guys now set the rules for their cooperation when they do something like this. So I'll cooperate, but you can't go in these areas. And they go, well, it's better to have it than not. So they compromise the producers.
Yeah, I think you're right about that. Because, I mean, who wants to have a special about them making Out You Out as a villain?
I mean, I thought it was, like, compelling. I mean, I didn't remember a lot about it. And so, like, the day-to-day of it was pretty compelling. I enjoyed it. I just wondered why, if they had this opportunity, why they wouldn't have asked him a simple question, like, why did you do it? And because his answer would be a simple answer. Well, I wanted to hit 70 home runs. That's why I did it. Well, people might not agree with that, but that's a decision I made at the time. And then, at least you're being honest.
Yeah, I thought the same thing. I said, he said I tried to say I had a lot of injuries and people told me it would get me out of the injuries, but like I said, I'm not.
Yeah, he wasn't going to take any personal responsibility in that thing last night.
Yeah, I got a more serious question for you. In light of what happened in Delaware and what's going on in the city, I think, do they take away Columbus Day as a national holiday?
Hey, this is very interesting, this Columbus, we would need a whole show to discuss this Columbus thing. Yeah, you talk about what happened to Marconi Plaza, or what are they doing in Delaware?
They removed, there was a place called Columbus Station in Delaware.
Okay, they removed that.
They removed it, whether it was preemptive to stop vandalism, or that the mayor decided that maybe the time is to looking back in history and see who the individuals were at least putting statues to, like Caesar Rodney. Caesar Rodney was a similar, he owned slaves, and he was one of the first guys that signed the Declaration of Independence for Delaware. They took down he had a horse and a statue. They took his statue down.
They have a high school called Caesar Rodney, too, don't they?
Yes, they do. Yeah, they played Delmar. Yes, they did. They played Delmar.
Are they going to change the name of that?
That's a good question. I don't know, because I ref high school basketball in Delaware, and that would be, we call it, refer to as CR. But
yeah. Well, we got a situation here in Philadelphia where people were armed to protect the Columbus statue. The big argument is, okay, if we're going to do this, we have to do it to everybody, and that includes Washington and Jefferson. So I don't know where I stand on that. I know that it's not an Italian pride thing for me at all when it comes to the statue of Christopher Columbus. It is to some Italian Americans. And I frankly don't really get it. To me, it's not important enough. If there's more negative than positive, then let's go with the negative and take it down. But there are people that feel very passionate about Christopher Columbus and the Italian American community.
Yes.
Yeah, it's been interesting to see.
Did you see what they were calling them online?
What?
Gravy seals.
Well, whatever. If you saw The Sopranos, there was a similar...
Yeah.
Yeah, they were big on the Columbus Parade and a lot of protesters against it. And, you know, you find out in history, these guys that you grew up in your history books that you were told were good people are not good people. So, like, how do you handle it now? If you're going to handle it like we handle everything else, then take it down.
You know,
I'm still going to live. It's not going to.
Yeah.
Right.
You know?
I always think that there's a difference. Like, it's almost like I could, as a black person, Jefferson and Washington, I think those are people who did some good things, some great things, and who also did some bad things, like owning humans. Like, trying to be. In the case of, like, the Confederate ones, they were treasonists because, I mean, they formed an army against America.
Yes.
And then they put them up afterwards as a participation trophy for them losing. To me, Jefferson, Washington, et cetera, hit me much different than Confederate. And then as far as Columbus goes, I don't really need a Columbus statue. Like, that wouldn't bother me. Like, I wouldn't.
To me, it doesn't have to be a symbol of Italian American pride. There are a lot of things that you can get involved in without having to have the statue of Christopher Columbus. That's the way I look at it.
Well, with all this news, I didn't know if it was just like my ignorance to Italian, I guess, heritage, but I didn't know people were so passionate about Christopher Columbus.
Yeah, Italian Americans are, for some reason. Now, in my family, Christopher Columbus was just somebody
who discovered America.
1492, you know? And there was no worshiping of Christopher Columbus in my house. But in South Philly, it's different climate. So I don't know what's going on. And the other thing about what was easier to remove the Confederate statues is they fought to continue a Confederate way of life, which included slavery. They fought basically to continue slavery.
Yeah.
Right. So it's like Jefferson and Washington, they were fighting for a new nation.
They were
and they were misguided and
flawed individuals who ended up doing something, forming a great nation. I can say leave them up. Like, I feel comfortable. Like, people say, where's the line? To me, that's the line. What was your intention? Their intention was to start a new nation. They just failed in the all men are created equal thing. They were kind of lying when they wrote it because they didn't really mean it.
See, here's the way I look at like these.
But
guys,
like, so I can let that happen. Yeah. But the Confederacy, come on.
Guys that took guns down to Marconi Plaza. I find that kind of like behavior reprehensible because why are you doing that? Like, could it matter that much to your specific life that you would try to take a gun down to protect the statue of Christopher Columbus? That's the part I don't get.
What I mean. I just was completely unaware that there was that level of passion for Christopher Columbus.
It was
shocking, actually.
It's a cultural thing that a lot of people go, you're taking that away from us, and that was the source of pride. And I go, well, you have a different perspective on it now. Maybe it's not as much of a source of pride as you thought, but guess what? You still got a family, and that's a source of pride, and your neighborhood's a source of pride. So, like, you don't need a statue of Chris to maintain your source of pride. That's the way I look at it.
Right.
You don't follow many of the quote-unquote Philadelphia area Italian stereotypes, though. You don't check very many of them.
Right.
From your Joe DiMaggio joke 20 years ago all the way to now. You don't really check. It's hard to put. No, you're not in that box. I'm saying of the stereotypes, we can talk about them or not. Like, they exist. There's stereotypes about everybody in the Philadelphia area. The down the shorty accent, whatever you want. You don't check very many of the quote-unquote Philadelphia area Italian stereotypes. Outside of like like you just don't check a lot of those.
But
you don't.
I think what makes you that way for all Italian Americans who don't, it's just education and living and seeing different things. That's all that is. It's like the people that are in that kind of an environment probably only see one area of it. And I've been fortunate enough to have stepped out of an environment, and I can appreciate other things. And not everybody is that way. And it's not their fault. It's just that's what their upbringing was.
Right. I mean, I have a ton of friends, Italian friends from Philly, and I just don't ever recall them talking about Christopher Columbus at all in any sort of way. But what do I know?
I don't know. See, nobody wants to have other people attack their source of pride.
Right. Yeah.
My question is, examine the source of pride and maybe you'll relent a little bit on it. All right. So Charles had something to say about if the NBA players don't play. I guess this is based on Kyrie speaking up and Avery Bradley and Dwight Howard and all those guys. So here's what Charles Barkley had to say about it. Not playing?
Having a little bit of a technical issue.
Okay.
I'll get it once.
All right, we'll get it. Dave in Center City. Dave, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Dave.
What's going on, 18?
What's up, Dave? How you doing?
Good. I want to share, you're going to love this Atlanta Braves story. It involves one of your favorite personalities. I'll start the story. I'll let you finish. The Braves were just won the MLCS. Tim McCarver doing the color was very critical on more than one occasion of Deion's play. Fast forward to the locker room scene. Take over from there, Mikey Miss.
Well, he threw a bucket of cold water at him.
Well,
you're a real man, Dion. That's what he said.
He was, where McCarver? Where McCarver? And they point.
He got it. I mean, that was out of line what Dion did. Yeah, Dion, you shouldn't embarrass the guy like that.
No, that was
a bratty thing for Dion to do, but that was like a Dion move.
The beef us Italians have is with St. Patty's Day. We do not like them celebrating and having a parade, and Columbus Day gets pushed to the side, but this is a whole different...
Is the St. Patrick kill slaves?
There's
an issue here when it comes to Christopher Columbus.
Okay, you ready for three toughies, Mike? Mm-hmm. You got a 25 game.
Oh, no. All right, it's up to 25 games?
Yeah, it was 23 you got to. Mm-hmm. These are not easy.
Uh-oh.
They may be hard.
Okay. All right, they can't be like real obscure players.
No. You all right,
go ahead.
This guy was a backup his whole career in college, a backup most of his career in the NBA. He's with the Clippers. All of a sudden, he averages 25 and 20 a game. Sven Nader, college.
Sven Nader went to UCLA.
That is correct. Mm-hmm. This gentleman, underrated point guard, went to the same university Dave from Center City went to. Norm Nixon.
Duquesne.
My man. And this one, this guy came out of the womb with a full head of gray hair, useless 6'11 big man, firing three-pointers at the Hawks, became a very good politician. Be careful. I missed this one. Tom McMillan.
Maryland. Come on, man. Come on. That's like, what's that, up to 28? Is that 28?
I got NC State. Double check it.
Tom McMillan?
Yeah.
You're wrong, brother.
You're right.
Tom McMillan played with Len Elmore, man. Come on.
Thank you. 28, Mikey Messer.
All right.
Thank you, buddy.
Get out of here, NC State. All right, we got Charles. All right, here's what Charles has to say on the NBA players if they don't play. More technical difficulty.
It was working.
This thing doesn't want to play.
No, it was working.
Was it?
He just tested it again and it worked. And now when he goes to hit it, it's not playing. It's really weird. He's like, you just heard that, right? I said, yeah.
Apparently, the machine does not want the people of Philadelphia to hear Charles.
So what I'm going to do is record it during the break.
All right.
So I can play it on the other side.
Hear from Charles one way or the other. All right, 610-632-0975. I bet Dave giving me one. I had to correct him.
You see that?
Yeah.
You're on a roll with these.
McMillan and Len Elmore.
I love Len Elmore.
Were the front court. Tom McMillan was like one of the highest recruited player in America, and Lefty Giselle got him. Oh, and that's when he said he was the John Wooden of the East. Yeah, that was a squad.
Yeah, I liked him as a commentator.
I think they had a kid from Philly was the starter on that team.
Really?
I had John Lucas was the starter on that team.
All those, that's NBA talent.
John Lucas, what was his name? He went to St. Joe Prep, was the starter on that team.
Really?
Mo somebody. What year of that Maryland team? They're great. We're like ranked number one. They lost to UCLA, I think.
Oh, wow.
Anyway, Mike Missinelli shows back after this.
The Mike Missinelli Show. The Fanatic.
All right, 5:30, Mike Missinelli Show means it's time for the final numbers in our Twitter poll, brought to us by Paul B. Moyer and Sons. If you need new outdoor power equipment, Paul B. Moyer is where you want to go. You can order online, check out all their inventory online. It's paulbmoyer.com. And give them a phone call if you want safe contactless pickup. You can just drive up to their place in Doylestown and grab your piece of outdoor power equipment. They have the best, and they can tell you exactly how to use it correctly. Natalie, final numbers.
Thanks, Mike. Today's poll, over 1,300 votes on this one. Do you care if baseball comes back this year? 42% say yes, 58% say no.
58%. Yeah, too late. Too late, man. We were invested at one point, but nah.
Imagine if they were in New Spring training, because they would be in it now, and we knew July 4th, like that weekend, we had baseball.
Mm-hmm.
Even if we couldn't go, there would be a level of excitement. There absolutely would be. But as is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like a throw in now. So yeah. We can do without it. And so can the players, evidently. All right, let's go. Well, we do have Barkley. We do have Charles. Finally, Todd, we finally tracked it down. We recorded it. We got it. It's foolproof. It'll play. This is Charles Barkley on NBA players if they don't play this year.
Well, I thought Jay Will was great this morning, and I agree with Stephen A. I think it would be stupid to not play for two reasons. Number one, if they don't play, they're going to be out of sight, out of mind for the rest of the year. There won't be no cameras following. And, you know, LeBron is probably the most famous athlete in the United States. He won't be visible anywhere. And so us out of sight, out of mind. Also, these guys got to realize this money going to come back, and they're going to lose billions of dollars that the players could use to go into their own communities and do some great stuff. So it's not good on any front. I have no idea what Kyrie and Dwight are talking about, but it'll be a catastrophic mistake not to play.
I think he's talking about, like, if all players don't play, right?
Yeah, he means if they...
Because that's
what Dwight was basically calling for was, we shouldn't come back as a league.
Yeah.
And I
agree. But that's unlikely to happen, though.
Yeah, it is unlikely.
So the players are going to play. You know, when push comes to shove, I think these guys that say they're not going to play are probably going to play.
Probably.
Yeah, it's easy to say that now. And, you know, you kind of throw your shoulders out there. And but when the opportunity does become a reality, you're probably going to play. So we'll see what happens.
And apparently LeBron has something planned with Nike, a unified message, apparently. That's
okay.
I was just looking it up. I think Devon's going to talk about it later.
All right. Loreen in South Jersey. Loreen, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Loreen?
Hey, how you doing, Mike?
Good. How are you?
Man, your topic's been all over the place today.
Yeah, well, it's a Monday, and we were going to talk 4 hours worth of the golf tournament, but we didn't know if that was going to carry the day. So we're all over the place.
Anyway, I had only one question for you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I'm depending on you because I'm debating with my friends here.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Overall, what is the highest paid sport? Give me the rundown. I'm saying basketball is the highest paid. Somebody's giving me baseball. You give me
Baseball is because there's no salary cap. So the teams that can really spend do spend. Now, not all the teams spend at that level, but there's probably more money available in basketball to pay out the players.
Okay, so we're going, what are we saying? Basketball, baseball, football, hockey.
Baseball first.
Oh, really?
Yeah, baseball has the more money.
I was saying basketball.
Yeah, now basketball is probably third to football, wouldn't it be? Yeah, it probably goes baseball, football, basketball, hockey.
Real? No, I lost the bet.
Oh, no, what'd you lose, Loreen?
I didn't lose that much.
You're paying a lot. You're paying like 50 more players in football too. So
I wasn't talking individual players. I was talking the overall sport.
As far as the revenue that's generated,
the overall rundown.
Yeah, football generates because of the rights fees. It generates more that way. But the wealthier owners will. Like, they're able to pay a payroll of, like, if you want to pay a payroll of 200+ million, you can do that without restriction. So it's kind of a complicated question, but football brings in the most money.
Does it really? Yes. And what would you say second, third, fourth is?
I would say probably baseball second, basketball, then hockey.
Okay.
All right.
Everybody has your little thing down, and we're all going to check on that.
You have to understand, like, you got to look at the crowd capacities too, and the revenue can be generated that way. In football, you're getting 60+ thousand. Baseball, you can get 40,000. And basketball and hockey are limited to their 18 to 20.
Right, and they have 41 home dates, while the baseball has 81 home dates.
Yeah.
To do it, so. And the
football money is coming from astronomical rights fees.
Yeah, it's just ridiculous. Right. They have the national, and then they have the local fee for baseball, and same with the NBA. But yeah, baseball's. Yeah.
All right, Chris on a cell. Chris, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Chris.
Hey, Mike, how you doing?
What's up, Chris?
I'm hanging in there. I wanted to ask you a quick question. I'm 22 years old, and I've been a diehard Sixers fan my whole life. And I'm just wondering, am I going to see a championship in the next 4 years?
Yeah.
And is this team going to stick together?
Yes.
I don't know. It's just,
what makes you doubt it? Like, if you have two superstars, you don't just throw it away. So if you keep trying. Now, if it gets to a point where you don't win after 2-3 years, then you might have to change up a mix a little bit. But what makes you think that they're not going to do it?
I mean, watching the past 2 years, I haven't seen a lot of gel. I think Simmons or Embiid has to go. And if one of them's on the chopping block, I'm saying Simmons. And a lot of my buddies disagree, but.
Yeah, well, why would you break it up now, though? Like, why wouldn't you just ride this out? Because you got two great foundation players, and that's better than only having one, right?
I'm getting a little impatient out here.
Well, you know, you can't get impatient. Like, right now, they're not good enough to win the East, I don't believe, right? So, but that doesn't mean next year, if they add some personnel, key personnel, they couldn't do it. Maybe new direction, new coach, whatever. you can't give up on what they have now, right? But
yeah,
you sound like you are giving up on it.
I'm just, it's a tough spot right now. I need sports. I need something.
Yeah, I get it. Now, how do you know? Like, so are you down on the prospect that they come out of this and they get on some kind of roll and they actually play for the conference title and then they actually win that and go to the NBA Finals? You're down on that?
If we win the East, I'm going straight to Atlantic City.
And bet what?
I don't know.
You are really scared here. I'm trying to get to the crux of why you're so nervous about the future of this franchise.
I'm excited to be on the show.
I'm going to have a discussion. Like, I'm trying to get to you. What makes you a doubter?
Honestly, I think it's just watching them play. I don't see the flow of the team working well. I don't think they're that fun to watch on offense.
All right. You're not allowing any room for growth, though. And you have to allow room for growth with players. Now, if I look at a crystal ball and it's 2 years down the road, they're still playing together, and it's still the same slog because 25 won't shoot it, then I got problems. But I can't bail out on it now. You know? What I can do is bail out on a certain direction. I can bail out on a coach. I can't bail out on a franchise player.
Right. This, just to remind you, the Last Dance was on not that long ago.
Yes.
Jordan and Pippen did not win in year three together.
Right.
They win. My only thing is, don't hold Embiid and Simmons to a higher standard than Jordan and Pippen. To me, that would be unfair.
No.
You get what I'm saying? Like, they
you're right about that, but the only thing different about that is we didn't look at either one of those players and say, well, they need to do this. They don't do this. I'm looking at one of these guys and I go, he doesn't do this.
Right, but people thought Scotty was soft, and then he had to prove people wrong. They said he was too soft,
but it's not like he wouldn't shoot it. You know,
this
guy doesn't shoot it, and it's hard for people to think that could possibly change. I'm holding out for that. I'm giving him credit. Like, that doesn't happen this year. But I'm going to look at that. 2 years down the road, I would find it impossible that dude is still not shooting.
I agree with
you. So that's why I'm hanging in there.
And if not, then I think they would then trade Embiid, not Simmons, if he doesn't shoot.
Yeah?
And then because he's younger, and what they would end up doing is try to put four shooters around the non-shooter.
Right.
So Embiid would almost have to be sacrificed because of his lack of shooting. I think that's what they honestly would do. Rather than trade Simmons, I think they would keep Simmons and then try to get four shooters around him.
We haven't heard that kind of doubt in a long time because that used to be an everyday doubt.
Right.
Oh, I don't know if these two guys can play together after every game. I don't know if these two guys can play together. Yeah. Well, we haven't had that in a while, so it shook me when
shook
my
me
man
too.
Brought
like,
it up.
It kind of offended me. Being positive right now.
You have no idea what hatches out of that egg. That egg hatches, you have no idea what's coming out.
You're right.
Well, we'll figure it out soon enough.
Could be Hornacek and Andrew Lance.
610-632-9494. 1-800-875-0975. Tim Perry, don't forget. Don't forget Tim Perry. Come on, man. Back into this.
The Mike Missinelli Show. The Fanatic. The kind of love now.
Do the kind of love. Everybody can do it now. Yeah, 546. Mike Missinelli Show, 97.5. The Fanatic. The guy I was thinking about who started for that Maryland team is the local guy. Mo Howard was his name.
I don't know Mo Howard.
Mo Howard from St. Joe Prep. He was a great player. They recruited him and John Lucas in the same backcourt and paired him with Len Elmore, who was 6'9", and Tom McMillan, who was 7'1". And they were supposed to be the team. And this was the years when the NCAA championship was only 25 teams. So you didn't get, they lost the ACC title game to NC State and never got in the NCAA tournament.
Ooh, that's
that
brutal.
Great team. That was a great team. They did not get in. NC State wound up winning the national championship.
That's
when they had David Thompson and Tom Burleson, who was 7'4". And they beat Marquette to win the NCAA title.
How about that?
The Final Four was Marquette and Kansas, and NC State beat UCLA.
That's pretty good.
Reese Lucas started for Marquette with Bo Ellis.
Wow.
And Earl Tatum, he played in the league. Lloyd Walton played in the league. Al McGuire was the coach.
Yeah, I remember Al McGuire was a legendary coach.
Yes, he was.
In more modern times, there's a full-fledged college mutiny happening right now.
What's going on?
At Oklahoma State.
Oh, Mike Gundy?
Yes.
The mulleted head coach causing some problems, isn't he?
Yes, so he wore the OWN shirt.
Hey, OWN, meaning the OAN network.
Right.
Which is the ultra-conservative network that fosters a lot of conspiracy theories that has been fancied.
Yes, a lot of
one president of the United States.
A lot of conservative news outlets don't even consider them a news outlet.
Uh-huh.
So their best player, Chuba Hubbard, he had 2,000 yards last year, 20-some touchdowns. He comes out and says it's unacceptable. He's not doing anything with Oklahoma State until things change. Well, and one player and whatever, the offensive line has now come forward. All of them. Not one, two. All the starters and all the backups, they all say, as an O-line, we stand and support Chuba. Meaning, they're also not going to play football, they're saying, in mass, unless there's some changes.
Well, do they mean they want them fired?
I think they like the coach personally.
Uh-huh.
But I think he has what they're calling, because of people who cover the team, a little bit of a plantation mentality.
Uh-huh.
That's why he was the person that came back in April and said, we need to get back out there and generate money for the city of Oklahoma. And he apologized for it.
Yeah.
Apparently he has some of that in him. Mm-hmm. And I think he's going to have to make a big mea culpa publicly to get them back. Because even if they do come back and play, I don't think I know for a fact that the athletic director and the trustees, he's been trying to get another job because they don't want to pay him.
Yeah.
So he's not in great standing. He'll lose the locker room if he doesn't clean this up. Because now that's 15 guys that said.
That guy bugs me at no end, by the way.
I'm just saying.
Yeah, he bugs me at no end. Always has.
He has. I know you're not a big fan.
I'm not a big fan of that.
You've been saying that for a while. And this is a thing now where some of these college people, because they have they can be dictators almost. Mm-hmm. But a lot of them are making millions of dollars, whether you think players should be paid or not. What I'm saying is they're making millions of dollars to coaches from black labor and don't even care to the players whether or not they live or die. And I think that mentality of you're making all this money and you don't even care about me, that's probably going to have to change going forward if you want to win.
Well, evidently, that coach is far right. To wear an OAN and to think that wouldn't have any effect on people is just, that makes him stupid. And if I got a stupid head coach, he got to go.
And that's the players are basically saying, like, if you're at this point, if you're still rolling around fishing trips, you can wear any t-shirt. He gets free Oklahoma City t-shirts every day.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that he would wear that clearly tells the players, you don't care about me in these times.
Yeah.
And right now, whether it's Clemson, he had to make statements. If you don't care about your players during this time, the majority of your athletes, you're not going to win because they're not going to play hard for you.
Yeah, he did issue a statement that said, I've been made aware. Oh, no, that's the press conference that he had.
Yeah, that was before where he had to address the previous thing he said.
Yeah,
he's like to hold another one.
He said people are getting the virus, they're getting over it, they're back out there in public, they have antibodies that can help fight it, is what he said. Yeah, he's an ignoramus.
At some point he does say we need to start generating some money for the state of Oklahoma.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, the players don't make any money. He's saying, let's go generate money for somebody else. You don't say that. That's tone deaf to say it to players.
Yeah, it's truly interesting to me to see what the mainstream media, of course it's the media. Sadly enough, just how negative everybody can be. Let's just report the news. Ralph in South Jersey. Ralph, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Ralph.
Hey, good afternoon, guys. First thing before I make my little point was I'd really like to thank you guys. I'm a lot older than y'all, but I learned a very important thing listening to your show the last couple weeks. And that lesson is just shut up and listen. You might learn something. I really appreciate that.
Well, thanks, Ralph, for listening.
The other thing was just a quick trivia thing on the team you were just talking about, which was University of Maryland.
Mm-hmm.
That was probably the second version of that team was probably the tallest team that ever played basketball. It was Len Elmore was the short guy in the fourth court. It was Elmore, Tom McMillan, Mark Cartwright at 7 foot, and Jim O'Brien was the 6'8 guard, and Lucas was the 6'4 at the other guard. And the last trivia part of it, Lucas actually made the front page of Sports Illustrated, but not as a basketball player that year. He was a more highly rated tennis player.
Yeah, I do remember. But I remember that team also being on the cover of Sports Illustrated.
Yeah.
That's where I get my memory is from Sports Illustrated, seeing that the four dudes on the front. Like that Maryland like was the national championship contender. Like they were the hottest thing going because Lefty had assembled that kind of a team.
Yeah, but without when they started, it was in that second iteration, I think it was the second one, it was actually Elmore, Cartwright, and McMillan in the front.
Yeah. He said he wanted to make UCLA Maryland the UCLA of the East is what he said. So that was the Sports Illustrated cover. Amazing, the Sports Illustrated covers. That was the only thing you had. Growing up, that's all I had.
Right.
You know? You either had Sport Magazine or Sports Illustrated, and I was always a Sports Illustrated guy.
Yeah, fall from grace is sad.
Yeah.
Institution.
It was an institution, man. Mm-hmm. All right, let's close it down. Stay tuned. Devon Givens will take you through the night here on 97.5 The Fanatic on NBC Sports Philly. Lunch Talk Live, followed by 2008 World Series Game 1. Versus Tampa Bay Rays. Have a great night, everybody. Be safe out there. Talk to you tomorrow.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.